Hey, g'day there, fellow humans. Mark LeBusque for the Simply Practically Human podcast. And today I got to speak to, I'm going to call someone who grew up not far from where I did, about 2 hours from me. I grew up in Mildura, which is up on the Murray River, about a 6 hour drive from our capital city, Melbourne, in Victoria, Australia. And Colin Beattie grew up 2 hours down the road on the same river in a town called Swan Hill. And Colin is. Done some amazing things throughout his life, and he shares some great stories today around the concepts of action and avoidance, and particularly around something in his own story with what he's just developed, which is called the PeopleSpot app, which is like a coach in your pocket. So he's going to talk about that. I want to leave it at that because he shares so much. He's so generous, and I'd love you to hear it firsthand from him rather than me do a bloody spoiler here. Oh, and something else, fellow human beings, Colin, who is a great human, as I said, has very, very generously offered a discount code for anyone who wants to join the PeopleSpot app. Go to the website, which is www.thepeoplespot.com. And the discount code when you go to purchase is BHUMAN12. So that's in capitals, BHUMAN12. Thanks, Colin. So we'll catch you at the end of the podcast. Enjoy.
Life can get pretty complicated. In the Simply Practically Human podcast, Mark LeBusque talks to incredible humans to see the way forward more clearly through the complexity in the world and in our heads. Let's get ready to thrive.
Hey, I'm delighted to be joined today by the founder and CEO of the PeopleSpot, Colin Beattie. Colin, thanks for joining me.
Absolute pleasure, Mark. Great to speak.
For those who don't know any of the geography of the state that we both live in, Victoria, I grew up in Mildura on the Murray River, and Colin grew up, what is it, maybe 3 hours away, maybe 4 hours away,
It's maybe even closer than that. I reckon it's 2 hours away, but those 2 hours might as well be, you know, 200 hours sometimes, because like growing up in those communities, you kind of know your own community, and we always knew of Mildura people, but We wouldn't travel up there and see you.
And we're a bit the same, because you only ever went, for us, we went down to your pioneer settlement. But this is the drive itself, mate. There's nothing to look at.
I don't think my kids are kind of almost young adults now. I don't think they can still appreciate that I pretty much grew up in a desert. It's flat, nothing there, a wheat belt, occasional fruit trees, which kind of stood out. Mildura had a few more fruit trees than we did, I think, but definitely no hills or mountains.
And both beautiful places on the river, but I'm not in a hurry to do the drive. When the plane came in, the Virgin plane came into Mildura, it was a 42-minute flight, and I got to miss out on the bit between Sea Lake and Oyen. Anyway, it's not about us. It's about the people getting some value here. Hey, mate, I always start with first impressions. And like you said, we've not met before. Yeah. But I think we would have formed some initial impressions. You get to go first here. What are your first impressions of the bloke from up the road in Mildura?
I get a strong sense. And in fact, I mean, you name it, like your focus on humans, trying to do it in a simple, meaningful, practical way for people. But I think we probably both grew up in a generation where, and maybe this is a little gendered in nature, like we probably both experienced males who didn't know how to articulate feelings and probably deep down complicated a whole lot of stuff. And then I think we continue to see that play out in organizations. So I get this impression that you've got a really massive heart, that you really love seeing people truly become the best they can be. And if you're anything like me, I think you also know that sometimes organizations just overcomplicate things that
I love it.
Are complicated enough as they are.
I'm going to get your thoughts on that later on about why we've tried to make the simple, the complex and the complicated. But my first impressions of you and determined, there's this thing, like, again, it's a LinkedIn thing, but there's just this steely determination that the world's got to be better. And we're going to talk about the PeopleSpot later and, you know, the coach in the pocket and those sorts of things. Street smart came up for me because we grew up, but at times I felt like I got dragged up out in the bush. So yeah. You've got to be street smart, very down to earth. And I just follow that in the way you write. And the other one that I really, one of the reasons I wanted to get you on is you seem like a pretty fun guy.
Yeah. That's always a buzz. In fact, just building the app, which we've used Slack, which has been a great communication mechanism. But I think everyone would say, Colin uses Slack. Me, I use Slack for movie reviews, what everyone's listening to, you know, what we're doing on the weekends. Like, I'm curious about how people live their lives. So that's a really nice thing for you to say.
No, well, I think we don't have enough fun in the workplace. I think people like you and what you're bringing to work is going to help places to realize that success and fun aren't mutually exclusive. We can have both. And I think that's where we need to go to. Hey, let's get a bit of the Beattie background, because I want you to delve a little bit back into growing up. And also, I've looked in, you know, I have a bit of a sneaky look. I don't do a lot of preparation. My listeners will know that, but I've seen you've worked with some pretty big organizations along the way. But how did it all start, mate, for you as a young fella? And what started to get you into this space that you're into now about, like, being a very helpful human, trying to help other humans stop avoiding things and start taking action?
I reckon there's a couple of key defining moments. If I was to be honest with myself, I probably always had a natural way of helping people feel comfortable. Sometimes even in a way that I didn't always help me, meaning people would download, like even older people, even when I was younger, like all of a sudden my older cousin is telling me stuff. I'm thinking, what do you expect me to do with that? That was probably always a personality thing. I grew up with a group of friends who had big dreams. And I can't tell you where that came from, but they almost all had big dreams, and they all saw themselves in something bigger than a small country town, to be candid. So one of the things I did, I thought I'm going to get out of here, especially after the end of VCE or HSE at the time. Going to get out of here, and what can I do to get out of here? And I ended up studying accounting, which is arguably, you know, the opposite to humans in the sense of its numbers. But I must admit that became an incredible grounding to actually find the right language to actually be able to connect in with organizations. And I appreciate a lot of my colleagues come to this field from different areas, including psychology. And I've probably always come at it from the practical business side. And I've always, in a funny way, and I don't know whether this is because of growing up with a farming community in a sense of people really had to help each other out in really great times. They had great times. There was times when farming was flying, and there's other times where you could just see you really needed to be together. And I think that was instilled in me from my father and mother. So it's a classic. Probably the only other quick thing is the place that I went to whilst still in accounting was I got a four-month stint in New York City. And that was almost the polar opposite to what I'd experienced growing up.
Yeah.
I suddenly realized I'm someone who needs stimulation. So just walking the streets of New York, I didn't even need to speak to anyone. I just needed that sense of, wow, this is an incredible world we live in, and so much is possible.
I'm glad you shared that. I'm also glad that my wife doesn't listen to this podcast, because she told me she's never listened to an episode because she's an accountant. I heard you say before they're the opposite to humans. I know you don't listen, Alison, but thank goodness that you don't. And then secondly, mate, New York, I didn't have the opportunity early in life, but later in life when I started doing some work over there back in 2018-19, I did exactly what you said then. You can just walk around there for hours.
Yes.
And just the stimulation that happens, because you see so many things that you've seen in movies or whatever else, but just the vibe and the vibrancy of the place, how bloody good's that?
Yeah, yeah. And I know you and I are going to talk a little bit about avoidance and action, but sometimes you do need stimulation. You do need a sense of, you know, I am, especially for many of us having lived through lockdowns and the last couple of years, like there's no wonder we as humans are seeking something else just to inspire us. And that's not always, it can be, but it's not always like a workshop or a conference. It can actually just be, just have an experience, just get and do something different.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. Fast forwarding to now, and talk a bit about the people spot, because I love reading about it. I actually haven't gone in and had a look at it or anything like that, but I've read your stuff, and I just think it's such a bloody practical tool for Like it's groundbreaking stuff for me. I look at it and I go, Jesus, a coach in your pocket as you talk about it, but there's so much more to it than that. What was the impetus to create this thing that I think is going to be an absolute phenomenon for you?
Thank you. I do really appreciate it. So it is a mobile app in Android and iOS, but more importantly, it's something that I think every human who works, and this is not one of the things that was so important to me, was it was democratized. It wasn't about targeting a leadership group or a leadership level. It was about every human who works, who fundamentally will face the complexity of another human, the complexity of their own internal dialogue, and the added complexity of teams, systems, and cultures, that I thought what people probably need is, you know, here's a couple of cliches or metaphors, but we all need our own choose your own people adventure. We all need a book, but if you're writing a book in 2022, like you might as well contemplate writing an app. And all that really says is, what do we always have access to? Almost always we have access to our phones. But if I take a slight detour and go back a couple of more years, where a lot of my working life was conferences, workshops, change programs, executive coaching, what I suddenly realized is more often than not, people would come to me at some point in that exercise, and they would usually articulate a problem that was different to the reason they were in the room.
Yep.
So if we were there for a leadership program or a coaching program or tough conversations or whatever it was, they would then seek me out and say, oh, actually, I'm leading a change project and we have a lot of resistance, or I'm really struggling with my career. And it made me realize more than anything that as much as education and events, I almost describe them the difference between an event and a moment. Like events are phenomenal and inspire people, but it's the everyday moments that sometimes trip you up. And that's why I was compelled to say, what does someone need to navigate the everyday moments?
I love that. So it's sort of almost like the right now situation. So, yep. You know, I find myself right now, I'm about to get involved in, and I struggle with the term difficult conversations because straight away they become difficult. But let's say,
you set yourself up.
About to have a conversation and I'm feeling a little bit challenged by it, but I haven't got, I'm not in the room with Colin right now. What have I got now that can help me? And this is where this app comes in, no doubt. Yeah.
And I also think there's there's a whole lot of people who aren't even seeking out the Marks and the Collins of the world because either they don't have access to that or their nature is such that they go, I should know this.
Yeah.
Like I've been promoted or I've imagine if I had to tell, even if it might be a coach or an expert, that I don't know what I'm doing, that I have no idea what the term psychological safety means. I've heard everyone talk about it, but I've got no clue. And I would never have said I set out to ever build some technology, but I notice more and more than the way we treat our devices is with a level of trust and intimacy.
Yep. Like
they kind of speak to us, they're ours. And I noticed that different to say logging into a desktop or it's a system, you know, that moment that's on your phone, it feels like actually this is my advice, this is speaking to me, and this is helping me. So there's a few things we really, really thought a lot about before we just jumped into it.
Love it, mate. God help us if we don't know the answers, because, you know, under the old system, which has still got its clutches in the workforce, is that we get promoted because we're technically competent.
Sure.
And then we get to a point where we're managing other people and we're like, shit, I don't know the answer. Well, I better hide that. But it sounds like you've almost got your friend now. Someone uses a big term in a meeting and you don't have to Google it. You can go into your people spot and go, well, psychological safety, let's get that in a very simple way rather than in a 2x2 or in something else. So like the practicality, mate, is sounds amazing. How long's it been in development for?
I'd argue that in my head it's been development for maybe 8 to 10 years. The reality is I was one of those fortunate people that was able to use a 280-day lockdown or whatever we ended up having here in Melbourne to actually build an app.
Nice.
there's a couple of different origin moments, but I think the most significant origin moment is April 2020, when I sought out a very good friend of mine, a guy called Nigel Dalton, and I said, Nigel, I'm thinking of building an app, and I know you'll tell me if this is a stupid idea. And he said, Colin, you've had a lot of ideas in your life. This is the best I've heard. So
nice.
And we kind of went from there.
Now, we talked a little bit before we were kicking off here about there's some similarities here. It sounded to me like there was a bit of there was an idea, but there was also a bit of a resistance or a reluctance because, you know, there was another way you were doing business that seemed to be going all right. And all of a sudden that's pulled out from underneath us. Any thoughts on why you mightn't have gone down this pathway a little earlier than what you did?
Oh, yeah, I think that's fantastic. I think you asked me a little bit about my history. I think I've always been a people pleaser. It's actually incredibly hard to say no to clients that, and they still are, to be honest. Like, there'll be clients listening to this going, we know Colin's now meant to be a CEO and a founder of this tech company, but can you just come and do this 2-hour workshop? And I'm finding it incredibly hard to say no. Now, I think that played out forever. And I'd actually argue some things that are worth doing almost require you to get off the grid.
Yep.
You know, that doesn't have to mean you have to go away to a isolated hotel and write or whatever, but you do have to disconnect yourself from what you're doing, because that will always be the obvious and always compel you to act. And I need to separate that out. And the pandemic did that. And I hope deep down in my heart that I would have found a time, but I'm not sure that I would have.
Yeah, really. That's really bloody honest, mate. Yeah. And you talked before about, you know, growing up and you're a bloke and we don't show feelings and we don't do this sort of stuff. But the thing that was coming to mind just as you were speaking was identity.
Yeah.
Now, my sense would be, and I'm talking from experience, my identity was the guy in the room.
Yeah.
And everyone loved the guy in the room and people wanted me to do virtual or something like that. And I'm like, no, that won't work because I'm not in the room. And it was more about me being shit frightened of losing something that I'd become very comfortable with. Did you have a bit of that going on there as well, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're dealing with identity and legitimacy, like what legitimizes you, what where do you get your authority from? And often clients were giving me authority. They were giving me the credibility.
Yep.
It's the moment they've invited you in, you know, that becomes a privilege and you give. And I'd almost argue sometimes I probably gave too much, like they got everything I had.
Mm.
So there wasn't me working late into the night going, I'm going to do what I really want to do. I'd given it all. That was, they had everything. So I think there is some aspects of that. Although one of the things I think I know quite well about myself is I think I always showcased others better than I was able to showcase myself.
Yep.
I would often, if I was asked to do a keynote speaking event, I would often say, can I interview someone? So rather than me tell my stories, I'll leverage off someone. And I think that's probably what made me really effective early on when I almost didn't want to have to be the storyteller and creating the energy. I just wanted to leverage the energy that was in the room. So quite quickly, I went from quite a young person dealing with very senior people because that's where the energy was, you know, the conflict in the boardroom or the conflict. And I somehow kind of knew how to leverage that. And I don't know what that means in light of the app, although I think it does mean that I probably always did work well, not necessarily front and center and center of attention. And that's what I know the app does actually really well. It's not the event. It's not the big bang program rollout. It's the everyday unexpected human moments that people may never have even asked for help around.
Mate, I have no background in psychology other than doing a unit when I became a primary school teacher. But what was going through my mind then as a country lad as well is don't put your head up too high, mate. Because if you do that, you're going to get it knocked off your shoulders. What are you thinking there? Because I was like getting goosebumps when you were saying what you were saying before. I can relate to that.
Yeah. So to get, you know, a little vulnerable around it, there was a period where I earned in a month more than my dad would have earned in a year. And there was no pride in that for me. I was embarrassed. if I was to walk down the main street of Swan Hill, Campbell Street, Swan Hill, and people said, oh, what have you been up to? I would totally underplay it.
Yep.
Oh, nothing much. I just, you know, just do a bit of work for, and I actually don't think I was doing them any credit and definitely not myself any credit.
Mm.
And I'm in my early 50s now, and I feel like it probably took me until I was about 45 to actually feel really, really comfortable in my own skin.
Yeah.
And now I do. I really do. And the other thing I would say to anyone who's listening, you almost always don't turn arrogant, especially if that's been your bias, like to be a little understated. Like you think you're going to turn really arrogant, but let me tell you, there's a lot of arrogant people out there. You know, you're not going to turn the dial up that much. But if anything, I feel like I've got something to offer.
Yeah.
And you said it right at the start to me, which actually really did mean something. I was, you know, I think you said words like I'm clear and intentional and I want to help and I'm not shy from saying I'm here to help. And that even includes now where I see stuff I think is actually unacceptable and I don't need to be invited in anymore. I'll invite myself in. And I just say that that's just not good enough.
And that's a big step too. And, you know, you said thanks for sharing and the vulnerability because, like what you're creating is the culmination of decades of your thinking and your experience and stuff like that. But one of the things I also notice with what you've created is there's a real humility to it as well. And yeah. I see that in your website. I see that in what you write on LinkedIn. You could get some people who have created something that's about 10% as good as what you've done and be blowing smoke right up their asses for forever. And I think that's what's part of the beauty. You've got to walk your talk on this stuff. And that sort of sends us into the space of today because I love your events versus moments situation or events and moments because in these moments, we're going to get into the two A's now, your two A's of we can either take action or we can take the pathway of avoidance. And this is sort of the guts of where I want to go today because a lot of times people – simply didn't know what to do, so they wouldn't do anything. Not necessarily they're avoiding it, they just don't know what to do. But then there's that very deliberate, I know what I got to do because I've been to some program where there was a bloke in a black t-shirt who said, if you do this, you'll be okay. Yep. But I'm going to avoid that because there's some repercussions that I don't want to face into.
Yep.
Why do you think, and this is my view, because I'm talking from practice too, I think I've avoided more things than I've taken action on.
Yep.
Why do you reckon we human beings practice a skillful art of avoidance over taking action?
Oh, we, you know, arguably we're hardwired to stay safe. Like we're animals. We, you know, we're quite robust, but on another level, we're incredibly vulnerable physically and emotionally. And one of the things I'm really fascinated about right now is the things that people can't talk about anymore. They've somehow put in a barrier up that this is dangerous things to talk about. So you have incredibly senior, capable people going to water, talking about gender, talking about race, talking about generational difference. You know, why does a Gen Z want and need this? And I'm thinking, what you could probably negotiate a high pressure merger and acquisition. You could probably make decisions that affect thousands of lives and then go to water over this. Like, what's that really about? And I think it's just all the natural human things. I never rule out that people are saying, I don't want to hurt someone.
Yeah.
Like, if I say something and I get it wrong, you know, there's a couple of consequences. Either I look stupid, but I don't rule out that people aren't always... It's not just a selfish call, but sometimes it's, oh, my God, what if I hurt someone?
Yeah.
What if I say the wrong thing? What if I offend? And so, again, I don't know whether this helps, but I feel like right now in 2022, where the world's at right now, with this great, incredible push towards artificial intelligence, machine learning, robotics, augmented reality, we're going to double down on being human.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to miss, it's going to be done to us something. And what's fascinating about being human is how imperfect we actually are. So stuff it up. Like that's what we want. We don't want perfection. We think we do, but we actually don't. We want something that feels really real.
That's pretty bloody cool, mate. I like being able to bring in the idea that it is, you know, there's dangerous ground now. And I'm sure there's a lot of us, myself included at times, people will say you can't say that because you won't get any more work if you say that. Well,
yeah, that's right.
I think it comes to intention there as well. I love your point there, Colin, about in this pursuit of AI and all this robotics, we've actually become robots. We're literally parking our humanity and what it is to be human. And that includes the survival mechanisms, but also includes empathy, compassion, vulnerability, a whole lot of other things. And I understand in some respects why we avoid, but then let's think about for those people who choose not to avoid and choose to take action. I don't think our hardwiring is any different, but why is it that some people do choose to take action over practicing avoidance?
A lot of reasons, and I can only say a lot of reasons because as much as we're very, very alike as humans, we also have some real differences. I think there are some people who have a pretty fundamental lack of awareness, and I look at them occasionally with a level of jealousy because they're just going to say it and do it and just keep going and probably not even quite understand the fallout and the consequences and what they've left behind them. That's not the majority of people in my experience. Then there are others who've done the work and, you know, what's doing the work. It's that internal work that, because I think we often think that it's the shiny thing out there that will fix us, but usually it's really messy and it's showing to someone else, to at least one other person that you trust, like, I'm pretty messed up in here.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty... And if you've done that work, and it doesn't even have to be with a therapist, it doesn't have to be with an expert, it's just I've actually worked on myself so I know what the difference is between what's mine and what's other people's. And when you get that right, I think you take more action with confidence because feedback, as an example, doesn't stick as much. Like if I had to listen to, and I imagine, Mark, you must be the same. You could either take everything that's said about you, you know, after something like you've run, you either take that all to heart, and it could even be because it's amazing, like, you know, you could actually go on an absolute high, or beat yourself up for the next week. And neither of those two things are real. The reality is, you did the job you did, and probably, I'd argue, probably the only one who really knows is you, like, you know, how well you did or how well you didn't do. And I think that's what it means to have done the work on yourself. You really got there. And then the third one, and I won't keep going on the third one, but the third one is, I think, people who actually know what inspires them, and they're not always what inspires the person next to you. So one of the things I would love to do with the app, and we're really serious about this, is I know personally I use music to inspire action in myself.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever done something that scared me without music playing a role in that to help me to take action. Now, most organizations would not even contemplate the fact that a playlist or a piece of music might actually be the thing that's missing, you know, versus a new model. Oh, my God, we've got another new model. No, we might have a piece of music or fresh air. Like, it was fresh air. That was all the difference. This whole team was stuck until they got outside and all of a sudden they see everything differently. So I think we, as humans in organizations, we keep on playing the same tunes and we forget how many other things, really practical things, actually inspire action.
Mate, that wasn't for too long at all. The idea that we're staying the way that we've always been, and that's an avoidance strategy in itself. And I love the idea of mixing it up, like whether it's music, whether it's going outside. I know for people who come in the room with me, at one point in time in 2 days, I just say, okay, half an hour, go and do what you want. And they dead set look at me like, what are we supposed to do? And I go, I don't know. You go and do whatever you want to do. You go back to the other one too. I love it when you talked about, I'm sure people have every now and again got hold of you and said you're a bit of a knuckle-dragging oxygen thief, because I cop that a bit, but I do a thing in my room where I get people to judge me, and I say exactly what you think, because I'm okay with it. I ask them whether or not I would have been an astronaut or a vet if I had another choice in my careers. And one day a gentleman in the room said, mate, from what I've worked out with you, you don't appear to have been intelligent enough to got the score to get into either course.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And like for me, you know what, for me now, because I think we've done the work you said before, that doesn't faze me.
Doesn't affect you at all.
Because you know what? He's actually bloody right. But other people in the room, mate, are horrified because they're like, you can't say that about him. And I'm like, why not? He's true. It's true.
It's true.
So there's an avoidance piece here in itself. That what about what we want to say to people?
Yeah. Yeah.
But we can't say, which is part of the avoidance mechanism. How is the app? Like if you were going to give me three things, because my hope out of this is people get onto your website and go, I need this thing.
Yeah.
What are three things that the app helps people to do to get away from avoidance and move further into action?
Three things. So one thing is, one of the first things you'll see every time you get to the right topic. And when I say the right topic, you know, even that language is not that helpful. A topic that will help you to take action.
Yep.
And you don't even need to know what that topic is. That there's plenty of navigation in the app that actually makes it that really easy for you to go, this is what I'm dealing with right now. It's something to do with my team. And this little coaching mechanism will help me to work out what approach to take. But one of the things we were really particular about is normalizing or validating. Now, again, I think about what I did for a living for 20 years, I'd be adding solutions. Oh, here's a great little story, or here's a great little anecdote, or here's a great little model. And what I think I underplayed is how many times I would say something and people would go, oh my goodness, does everyone else feel that? And most people would say, yes, I do. So one of the things we do, and we really value this, and I anticipate it will get bigger in the app, is the validation. So if you're about to have a conversation that worries you, it actually almost normalizes that. It's normal to feel worried because a conversation is actually not a script. So you actually lose control of a conversation within a minute or so. So no wonder you're feeling a bit anxious about, well, I'm about to do something and I won't be able to control it because there's another person. So that's one. Number two, everything we do in the app is built in a way that's actionable within 24 hours. And I want to almost say to you, that's made building the app so much easier, but people's experience of the app so clear because they know what this is and what it's not. So you're never going to see, despite someone even saying this to me recently, they said, I expected the app to tell me which podcast to listen to and, you know, I've got to do a TED talk and I've got to read this. And I'm going, but why? Like that stuff's out there.
Yep.
We don't even want to compete with that. That's out there. All we're trying to give you is what you might need to be able to take action within 24 hours. So no complicated models, just really simple, clear language to the point. And then the third area that I think people might be surprised by is I think people go to topics, especially in organizations, and they might be based on competencies or even values. Like the topic might be, we're here to learn about psychological safety, or we're here about well-being, or we're here for coaching skills. Now, that's great, except that it's usually the emotion that's the blocker.
Yeah.
So I'm seriously capable of having a conversation with someone, except for person X over there who makes me feel small and then gets angry and then bursts into tears. And I'm going, no wonder you feel worried about that conversation. So it's not the competence that's missing. It's the emotional language, or it's the normalizing. And I hope, and I will say this as a quick add-on, Mark, and a normalizing that says, if something happens that is unexpected, and we sometimes illustrate that in the app, like if it goes this far, you need an expert. You don't need an app.
Yeah.
And I'll be the first one to say there's too many apps out there that promise too much.
Yeah.
So one of the things we're very particular about is there is a deep dive, because we almost, there's another metaphor, we almost feel like we're the surfing option and a lot of other things are deep dives.
Yeah.
Deep dive is so helpful when you're dealing with a complex bullying situation that's been playing out for 6 months. Our app can only do so much on that front. You need an expert to help you.
And bravo to you and your crew. And I know you've got a bloody good crew because you're always acknowledging and appreciating them, which is a very human thing. Some things you can't do in an app. And like you said, they need to be done another way. The other thing that came up for me then, validation, actionable, the emotional language. Sometimes the usual language, people turn off when they hear the usual language straight away. They're like, fucking, here we go again. It's another one of those sermons from the consultant's hill. Yeah. But the most powerful thing that I'm picking up, mate, is reinforcing for people that it's okay to not be in control and to be human, because like we don't have all the answers. They get into your app and they go, this app's almost like it's like another human being.
Yes, it is. And I've been, I don't think the word is criticized, but I've definitely been challenged by some people who said, oh, the way you've designed this, someone could actually stuff it up. Like it could go wrong. And I'm going, yes.
Yep.
And the app is there to celebrate the fact that that person took action. But just imagine if that action leads to conflict and all of a sudden you've been sacked, right? Because your boss hated everything you just said that you needed to have said. Now, the robustness in me says, well, that was almost inevitable anyway. And the risk is you would have stayed another 6 months. At least it came to a head. But I do get it. Like no one actually wants that moment, but sometimes we actually almost need that moment. And the last thing I ever wanted to do is say you have to be perfect with the action you take.
Yeah.
And the second last thing I wanted to do was have two apps speaking to each other. And there's a risk that the people spot of the future, and it's not going to be built by me, I guarantee, but could actually outsource some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Our two apps speak to each other and they sorted it all out. Well, that's the last thing I ever wanted.
Well, that's not very human, is it? That's a couple of machines talking to each other. Now I said we're not very bloody planned and all this stuff. Now, action and avoidance.
Yes.
I don't know if I asked you this question before in another way, but if you think back now for yourself and there's the people spot now that was sort of mulling around in your head for a while, what was stopping you from going to action?
You've alluded to this a couple of times, and I think the soft answer, the cautious answer is, you know, I was a people pleaser. I got validation. I even got my own validation from doing the work I was doing, which was human face work, not app technology. And the other thing was, and I will never discount this, I have a family. Like I have a family that depended on me, and consulting is a building apps is a risky business. And consulting is a risky business. So sometimes you took the work. But there's probably another part to the story which says, well, why me? When, especially, you know, what do people search out now? They go, oh, I want to go to a TED talk. I've never done a TED talk. I'm going to go to Harvard Business Review. That's where the real stuff is. Well, that's not me either. So there was a little element, well, why would anyone take notice of my content? And I hope this is what's ended up happening, Mark. I probably doubled down on my own style.
Yeah.
Because I almost said to myself, I actually can't compete that. I'm not going to be the next Harvard or the next TED Talk. I'm going to be the next most practical human that talks in as if I'm talking to you, like I'm talking to you right now. And that's not even going to be for everyone. That's okay. But candidly, there's an incredible market for that.
Yeah. And I think the great lesson there is that you don't have to be like everyone.
You don't have
to be like Colin, because this is what he's built and his fantastic crew. So just quickly on your crew, because you're always bloody like talking them up, mate. Talk a little bit about your crew and about how this has all come together and think about the human elements that have all gelled to make this into what it is.
Yeah. So this is probably the cliche around this, but you, like a village, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to build an app.
Yep.
I think the biggest thing is, and I never expected to do this in my career. I was managing an engineering team in the middle of lockdown. We were doing stand-ups over Zoom and over Slack every single day. And every so often I'd go, what the hell? I never thought I would ever, ever do this. And you have, you know, engineers and technicians dependent on the decisions I was making. So they've been incredible. At that point, I met a person called David Kennedy, and David's our UX designer, and he was ex-Apple California, and I say that because he got caught in the middle of a pandemic. He's a Melbourne person working in California, came home for a wedding and couldn't return. So talk about an accident.
Nice.
Then I have Narissa. Narissa is my partner in life, and she's arguably, there's so much of Narissa in this app as well, but when I say but, it's because she puts the rigor in as an org psychologist that says this is not just practical experience. It can't afford not to have some meaning and rigor. I mentioned Nigel Dalton, who's a wonderful tech person, Nat Feehan, Kate Temby, Amanda Buckley, Carl McConnell. I'm going to miss someone. I know I am. Amy Kirkwood, who's just had a baby, Kate Edwards. I think I've named the team. And even my friend Simon, who's been the angel investor in this. And Simon's a Swan Hill boy.
There you go.
So talking about two people who grew up together, shared a lot of history together, and now we're in business together. That's also a story. Like, I think that if we can look back on this at any stage with a level of success, I think that kind of reconnected the two of us as well. So it's been incredible to now almost, and I will say this is a strange experience I now have. Sometimes I look at the app for myself, and I don't instantly recognize it's my stuff anymore. It doesn't feel like that.
Yep.
It feels like that's what it was destined to be. That's its home. That's what it is. It's not mine.
Mm.
And I'd never thought I'd have that experience, but that's a pretty cool experience. I really like.
That's pretty bloody cool. And look, that collective that you talked about, it does take the village to create whatever it is going to be. In this case, it's the app. Mate, it's something you should be really proud of. Now, I'm going to ask you the question about simplicity and complexity, because there is a level of complexity in the world and we're complicated and whatnot, but I sort of think one of the reasons we do avoid shit, and sometimes it's because it seems too simple and then we need to be smarter than that. I talk about we get romanced by the flame of complicated and the complex when at times it's pretty bloody simple. Why do you reckon it is that human beings do that? If you do think that, you may have a different view. Why are we romanced by the complexity and the complicated?
I don't think I actually know the answer to that. I'm fascinated by that. I think I know occasionally that if you have too much time, I have a big smile on my face, when you have too much time on your hands, like you don't have a deadline, I think sometimes we just keep going and we overthink things. I think our brains are probably really hard. They're thinking machines. They're just always on. So if you let them go without any, how's this for an angle? Because I do subscribe to this. I think creativity comes from tight boundaries. And the moment you do say to a group, go away and brainstorm and think differently, like that's impossible, like at some level, because it's just too many choices. And I think sometimes we need the boundaries and limitations of something. Otherwise, we will create complexity. But if you ask me again, why, I actually don't know that I really, really know. I witness it though. I see and experience it.
Well, I love how you walk and you talk, mate, because, you know, we talked earlier that it's okay if you don't know, and you've just backed that up beautifully. Hey, what would early 50s Colin tell old mate who was 15-year-old Colin? Was it Campbell? Did you say Campbell Street?
Yeah, Campbell Street, Main Street at Swan Hill, where all the shops are.
So you're hanging around the shops and you're 15 and an old 50-plus-something Colin walks up and taps 15-year-old Colin on the shoulder. What would his advice be to him?
If I was being really, really in Swan Hill speak, no one's actually looking at you, mate. Right? And I think that would have actually cut through, because I reckon I was so self-conscious, thought that everyone's expecting stuff from me and looking at me, but everyone's busy doing their own stuff.
Yep.
So that would almost be the most practical advice. Just don't worry. No one's really looking at you. So you may as well choose to be the person you really are. And that person blossomed, but it took, a good 30 more years for that to actually come to full fruition.
I love that. I love that. Such a powerful story. I had a lady, Carly Lyon, on a couple of weeks ago who she's a PR coach, and she was actually managing Miranda Kerr at one stage.
Oh, yeah,
and she
right.
said exactly the same thing as that. She goes, you know, one of the advices was from her was, people aren't looking at you. They're looking at themselves. So get over it and get on with your lives. I just think it's so good to hear some, I guess, a reinforcement of that in a real life context that, you know, you're sitting at outside the fish and chip shop in Campbell Street and you're like, yeah. I'm worried about what people are thinking about me, whereas you should have, like you said, 30 years later, now it's like, yeah. I'm Colin, and Colin's okay. So well, I think that's great. Hey, mate, where do we, where do the listeners find all your stuff, the People Spot? How do they get onto it? What's the best way to do that?
We have a website. It's thepeoplespot.com, thepeoplespot.com. What you'll hopefully see, and I'm so thrilled you actually said this, like it probably will give you, it'll give you screenshots, so it'll almost give you a sense of what the app starts to look like. You can actually purchase the app through that website, either as an individual. In fact, you can now even do it on a monthly basis. Like most apps, you might say, I just want to try this for a couple of months and see whether it works for me. And we, if you're in a decision-making capacity within an organization, and you could, you'll do this again through the website, we just ask you to speak to us and we will build a version of this that works best for your situation and price it in a way that is meaningful. We do have a way of even customizing it for larger organizations. And I think you're reminding me of things we do a lot on LinkedIn on our company page. And candidly, if no one ever buys the app, but they get some value out of what we're offering there, that's awesome.
Yep.
And we've just really put a bit of an effort in our Instagram page, which is the.peoplespot. And what we're really keen to do is give out as much content on there. Humans need this stuff. Like, we hope they buy the app, but if they don't, there's a piece of content that really speaks to them. Like, we're really happy to give it away.
Mate, I think they're going to buy the app because my sense, again, you live to the law of abundance, not the law of scarcity. I'm going to hide this thing and not talk to people about it and do all those sorts of things. Mate, you're a bloody good human being from Swan Hill. And I remember playing footy against Swan Hill High School, I think, back in 1984. We beat them in the game, but they beat the shit out of us, I can say, Mildura High School. It was one of the toughest games I played in a town called Oyen.
It was a
Herald Shield, mate, and we had a couple of boys that went on to play for Richmond, and so did you. And
we did too.
And geez, they were tough.
Free.
Yeah, and, Craig Smith. There was a couple of big tough boys, mate. And mate, lovely to connect with you. Lovely to talking to someone from my part of the world. And mate, I look forward to continuing conversations. But thanks for coming on the podcast.
Absolute pleasure. Such an easy conversation to have. Thanks so much, Mark.
I think there's, not to say that this doesn't happen if you grew up in the city, but there's a level of humility, I think, that comes with people that have grown up in rural and remote areas. And it was pretty remote where Colin grew up, as it was with me. We were in a desert. He did mention he tells his kids that he grew up in a desert, and that is true. So if his kids listen to this at any stage, that he is telling you the truth. And the other things that I talked about with him earlier, his street smarts, his down-to-earth way, his ability to be self-deprecating, he put it out there in this episode. He didn't need to. This wasn't a structured interview where he was given the questions beforehand to come up with his answers. He was given a lot of the questions on the spot, and he just went straight into pure honesty and vulnerability, which I really loved about him. I love how he talks about events or moments, like, you know, the event being the training program, which is still can be good. But in the moment when you're back in your world, what have you got there to help you out? And I think that's where I think the People Spot comes in really, really nicely. The importance of normalizing and validating. And I talk a lot to people about reinforcing what they know and allowing emotion to come into things and not trying to suppress it. So validation, making it actionable, and allowing for emotional language so it normalizes things rather than we maybe go for more of a robotic step-by-step process that people can't understand in the workplace. He had big dreams as a young fella, and I loved how he talked about just his ability to go to New York and just absorb it, absorb what was going on and just be stimulated by what he was seeing. Choosing your own people adventure, like his ability to create something that is helping people move from avoiding things to actioning things, because they get to choose. They get to choose the way that they go about it. And even his honesty to say that at times that the choice they make may actually be a stuff up. Well, that's what it is to be human. That perfectionism, whilst we might chase it, we very, very rarely, if ever, get to it. Creativity coming from tight boundaries. And his very, very, very big share of, I don't actually know the answer to that question, only continued to reinforce how good a human being Colin Beattie is in the way that he walks his talk. I really love the conversation. As I said, I do hope to catch up with him some more. Check out the app that's been put out there. As he said, it can be accessed on a month-by-month subscription. You can have a bit of a go at it. It can be purchased one-off. Or if you're an organization and you see that this could help you with those moments where you need something more than a 2x2 model, this could well be the thing that could help you out. Hey, if you love this one, as I did, please rate it 5 stars. Leave us a little comment about what you loved about it. For me, it was just the honesty that Colin showed. And if you liked it and you think there's some people out there that could learn to be able to move away from avoidance and into action, share it with them and get them to have a listen, then have a conversation with them about it after that. As I said, again, go and check out the People Spot. I think you'll find it to be something that's very, very user-friendly and a real benefit to you in your pursuit of whatever that may be, whether it's as a manager or as just a good human being. But until next time, keep it simple, keep it practical, and keep it human. Bye for now.